Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. And just before we get started, another quick reminder that our next live show at the Gosforth Civic Theatre on the 9th of October is now on sale. Tickets are £20. Visit the Gosforth Civic Theatre website to buy or click the link in the show notes. And with Liverpool just around the corner, Newcastle have been at St James's Park all weekend, taking on Bayer Leverkusen and Strasbourg in the final two pre-season friendlies before the start of the new Premier League season. Are Matthias Eisler's men ready or even close to being ready? Let's hear from George and Chris, who've been on the ground for both games.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. You look like you're 60 and you feel like it too. Happy birthday, Chris. Has it been everything that you've ever wished for?
Undoubtedly. I mean, I'm sat here in the radio room at St James's Park having watched two and a half friendlies. I arrived for the second half of the women's game in the space of 24 hours. It looks like I might have some sort of eye infection. Newcastle United failed to win any of them. They had to change shirts yesterday. I've seen two of the worst penalties ever, and I've spent the day with you. I did get a sausage though, so apart from that was one saving grace of what has not been life affirming. I wouldn't say. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do very much enjoy my job usually, but two and a half friendlies in 24 hours was far too much.
Yeah, the sausage wasn't spectacular. The eye infection is. But yes, two friendlies, 2 days, two defeats, 2-1 to Bayer Leverkusen on Saturday, and then on penalties to Strasbourg after a 1-1 draw on Sunday. And I mean, they really were quite some penalties. We're now 1 week away from the big kickoff against Liverpool. And so the question we really have to answer in this pod is, how ready are Newcastle United? So first off, let's hear from new captain Dan Burn and his answer to that question.
Yeah, very ready. Listen, we're not going to peak against Liverpool. I think the manager said that it'll take a time to sort of embed the things that he wants to do. Because there's always differences with managers and the way that they want to do things. We've probably not had as much training time as we would have liked. So we've got a good week this week, which I'm sure we'll learn a lot. But from the two games that I've seen this weekend, I'm confident that we'll be ready for Liverpool. And I don't think you need any motivation for a Liverpool home game for either us or the city. So we'll, looking forward to it.
So before we get into the weeds of all that, birthday boy Woff went to both men's games over the weekend. I skived on Saturday, but I did see all of the lasses, their defeat to a very good Inter Milan side, and we will hear from Tanya Oxterby in our midweek show, but let's listen to a bit of audio from Chris on Saturday.
Well, good evening from St James's Park. It is the evening after the first of the Visit Malta weekend doubleheader, and I've been here going solo today. Weekend fun, attending two pre-season friendlies, having also attended the one at Murrayfield in midweek and Mestalla last weekend, but you know, that one was slightly different. Successive defeats for Newcastle United, albeit in friendlies, but there are some concerning signs. Interestingly, Matthias Eisler was asked directly about, I'll just start the end here, why not, was asked directly about the fact that Newcastle play Liverpool next weekend, and does he have any concerns about the time left? And his response was, we're not concerned, we know the reality, and we do the best with the reality. The problem is the reality does bring about some elements of concern now, and I'm speaking now where we listen to this podcast, it'll be after Newcastle have also played Strasbourg, and potentially we'll see a lot more positives from that. But we've just found out that Joe Linton is out with an unspecified injury. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. He's the new vice captain. Dan Byrne has been named as the club captain. Huge accolade for him. Boyhood Newcastle fan, makes sense in so many ways. Does it actually solve the problem of will he start? For a start, next weekend against Liverpool, he's going to maximum have played 90 minutes if he completes the entire game tomorrow. But clearly, Yeist has come in. He said it was his decision, not the players, to make Byrne club captain. That it made a lot of sense. He's respected behind the scenes. He knows the club inside out. But club captain does not necessarily mean on-field captain. And so there will be movements on that, I'm sure. Yeah, Malik Chow was the skipper again for this match. And in the side was Johan Wissa, actually plays number 10. I'd say he was the main positive, as he has been this week. Scored a brace in Valencia. Then was reasonable in midweek as number 10. Was certainly in the first half the person driving Newcastle forward. He had a couple of chances. He laid on opportunities for others. And it's a bit curious because, he's come back fitter. He's at elevating position. But actually, as a player, is he an out-and-out number 10? He has played there for DR Congo, but I wouldn't say that he's the most creative presence. You probably want him on the end of some of the chances that he's laying on. Instead, Nick Voltimato was the one who played up front, and he had a sort of difficult afternoon. I'd suggest there was moments where Yeisler looked visibly frustrated when the ball didn't really stick with Voltimato. Newcastle went long at certain points. I kept on doing this routine with the goalkeeper, certainly the first half, where Botman would pass a goal kick inside to Hornacek, who'd launch it long for Voltimato to hold on to, and very rarely did that actually work. So we've mentioned this so many times, but there's a lack of creativity. There's a lack of goals then. It is a concern. Who's going to lay on the chances, and then who's actually going to finish them in the end? And it wasn't obvious as to exactly what Newcastle's game plan was going to be in that regard. I mean, they fell behind within 44 seconds when, again, I mean, Hornacek, I think there will be some questions asked about Lucas Hornacek and exactly his role in some of the goals. Over the course of the last few days, Ibrahim Maza with a vicious shot. I mean, he's a good player, Newcastle like him, but he cut inside. And it was a vicious shot, and maybe it's been a bit harsh on Hornacek, but he seemed to fall backwards rather than sort of up. It was a very, very good strike. And early on, Leverkusen were by far the better side. That Newcastle pinned deep, and perhaps one of the reasons for that was that there was a kick clash. The two teams came out, and immediately I turned to Craig Hope with the Daily Mail, who sat beside me, and I said that those kits that it's difficult to discern between the two, and largely because, I mean, Leverkusen were playing largely in white but with blue trim. Newcastle were, for the first time, were in the black and white striped home kit, the controversial barcode one with the blue down the side. But on the back, both kits are largely white, and it was very difficult to discern between the two teams. And so it was Yeisler himself who was influential in getting a change at the first hydration break. Newcastle then changed into their new, recently revealed pink, violet kit, purple kit, whatever you want to call it, which they also wore in Edinburgh. But they retained the black shorts and black socks. But Newcastle improved immediately after that. Now, whether that was a direct correlation or just because there'd been a bit of a break, the hydration break, which was booed in both halves, by the way, and understandably so, clearly not something that people want to see coming into the British game on a consistent basis. But yeah, Newcastle struggled before that, improved a bit afterwards. I suppose the notable people to mention, Mason Miley was the other bright spot alongside Johan Wissa at right back. I'd say he was arguably Newcastle's best player. Looked composed, looked cool, wanted to get involved in the match. Lewis Miley also came back first, both Miley brothers on the pitch at the same time, which was great to see. Lewis Miley getting 45 minutes as planned, just as he makes his return back into the team. But Mason Miley, you'd say that it'd be a bit of a stretch for him to start next week, particularly with Amar Dedic. That's the big news that as of today, as of Saturday evening, Newcastle are in advanced negotiations. It looks like Dedic is going to come in for a fee, probably close towards £30 million, which seems a lot of money for a fullback who's only experience in Europe's top five leagues is a short loan spell at Marseille. But he's someone who Yeisler knows well, and Newcastle desperately need fullbacks. He can play both sides, predominantly right back, but Newcastle desperately need to get him in. So Newcastle equalised on the stroke of half-time, just before half-time, when Anthony Elanga curled a corner to the back post and Malik Chow rose to head in back across goal. And yeah, it was probably just about deserved by half time that Newcastle were level. And the second half was, there was a lot of changes from Leverkusen, and they looked the better side from as a result of that. They were the ones who really sort of took control without creating loads and loads of clear-cut chances. It wasn't like at either end there was loads of opportunities, and it was Victor Boniface who came on and almost immediately after coming on in the 82nd minute, he sort of bamboozled Sean Stir, came inside and then out, came in the box and then whipped a shot into the far corner, which Hornacek got a hand to but couldn't keep out. And again, you could argue possibly should have done better. There's been a few chances over the last week which he's got close to or got a hand to or he felt he could have done better with. So not necessarily the best introduction yet for Hornacek. It'll be interesting to see who plays in goal in the second game, because will Pope be involved, or will it be one of the younger goalkeepers? Is Ewan Zhao fit? He hasn't been in the last two squads. That hasn't really been fully explained as to what exactly is going on there. So yeah, a lot of question marks still about this Newcastle side and sort of where they sort they go next, really, and what they can actually do before the window closes and before the season starts. Dedich would be a positive, but Newcastle still need experience in midfield. Yeister also talked about that, and he said, you know, it's obvious everyone inside the club knows, everyone outside the club knows. He wouldn't be drawn on specific players as he hasn't been previously. We may not hear from him after the second game either. That sounds like Newcastle may put a player up instead. But Yeisler, yeah, he says he's not panicking. He knows this, he knows the reality of the situation that Newcastle are in. He knows what they do have and what they don't have. But going with just 8 days left till that Liverpool game, you can see obvious shortcomings, obvious deficiencies in this side. Maybe Sunday in Strasbourg will bring about greater positivity. But right now, you do worry where exactly the goals are going to come from. Where are that leadership? Where is that sort of fighting spirit out on the field, the aggression that Newcastle need? It feels like this team has lost a fair amount of character, and people need to emerge, players need to emerge internally, but they also need to bring some in to really aid those young players who've come in, and too much cannot be expected of them too soon. Same with Sean Stur again today. He didn't really have huge opportunities. It wasn't as central as maybe he has been in previous games, but not. He's an 18-year-old lad. He shouldn't be expected to start these next few matches. And also, I just think stylistically, again, this 4-2-3-1, does everyone fit into this system? Newcastle haven't, as I mentioned with Wissa earlier on, Newcastle haven't played with the number 10. They didn't play with the number 10 under Eddie Howe. They haven't signed one for any of the last 5 years for that very reason. And yet now they've got a guy who's moved from 4-3-3 to 4-2-3-1. And in that, you need number sixes, which Newcastle don't have enough of. And you need a number 10. And instead of having an out-and-out creative number 10 and playing a midfielder there, or someone like Jacob Ramsey, hasn't really been trailed there. Could he be trailed tomorrow? We shall see. Other than that, it's largely been strikers moved deeper in Voldemorta or Wissa, and they've sort of been interchanging for now. But we shall see what Sunday brings. Hopefully more positivity and optimism, and hopefully the announcement of Dedich coming in, because that would give everyone a much-needed boost.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
So I watched on telly. I have to admit, I did feel a tremor of concern watching that. Strasbourg was probably a bit better, though. Messi equaliser aside, and then awful, horrific penalties aside as well. So let's have your brief takeaways from Sunday, Chris.
That Willa Sula, although finishing-wise, there's still a lot of work, I think that you can see that he will cause problems for opposition sides, and for me probably should start the season as centre-forward. Two of Newcastle's main attacking weapons may not be here come the end of the window, in who started today anyway, and Joe Willock as a number 10, and Jacob Murphy at right wing. I think Jacob Murphy's probably more likely to stay, but equally Newcastle probably would listen to offers for him. Midfield, big concerns, and youth at fullback, but then Byrne, you've got to get inside somewhere, but he's only played 45 minutes of football. So they would be my main takeaways from this. I think Newcastle created more today than they did during the first game against Leverkusen, but still you wouldn't say they're absolutely hammering the door down to create opportunities. So not only are they not scoring that many goals, they're not missing a hatful of chances because they're not creating them in the first place. So still clear areas to work on, as well as obviously clear areas they need to strengthen the market.
Yeah, the penalties as well, dear me. Asula reached orbit with his, and then Jacob Ramsey decided to recreate the partial eclipse of the sun with his one. Quite astonishing. So let's get into it. Are Newcastle ready? And I'll give you my response to that. No.
Are you ready?
I'm I was born ready, Chris. Absolutely born ready. But, you know, how can they be ready when Yeisel's been there for less than two... Yes, Yeisel's been there for... No, Chris, I'm not ready. Yeisel's been in the job. He's been in the job for less than 2 weeks. They still, it feels to me, have so much to do in the market. I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, Amar Dedic is Tyneside bound, so they are going to have a fullback, one who doesn't have that much experience, if any at all, in Europe's top five leagues. Hasn't got any in the Premier League. At least he knows Yeisler's methods. He'll know what Yeisler expects from him, but he's probably going to be thrust into the starting lineup for next weekend. Even then, that's still going to be, because we'll have two senior fit fullbacks, because hopefully Livermento's not going to be too far away after that, but even then it's going to be him and Lewis Hall. Still need greater depth there, ideally. Midfield-wise, they've been asking about João Paulinho, but it looks like that deal's going to be difficult to do. Højbjerg, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg at Marseille, they've tried to bring him in. That, again, has proven complex and difficult and doesn't look like it's happening right now. If they want to bring in midfielders with experience of a certain standard who are attainable in the next couple of weeks, that list is very short as it is, and it's getting shorter with every player Newcastle try and are unable to sign. And beyond the players we know they're looking at, I think most supporters and most onlookers would say Newcastle need fresh attacking impetus. They need somebody else in there. They've got square pegs and round holes, as I put it in the piece that we've just written to The Athletic, not fully rounded pieces to fit in round holes, and they're switching from this 4-3-3 to the 4-2-3-1 for 5 years under Eddie Howe. They didn't sign number 10s, and they haven't signed enough number 6s, really. They've started to try and do that this summer, but Alhaji Bamba's 20, I think he's got a dozen senior starts. Sean Sturr, similar, not hasn't got the experience of really playing those positions yet. Joe Linton injured for the next 2 weeks anyway, but also he doesn't really fit in that role. So it feels like it's very much an unfinished and unbalanced squad. And yet we are now, well, we're less than 7 days away if you take the exact time of the day before Newcastle play Liverpool. And there is a lot of intrigue as to what this new side will look like and what it can look like under Yeisler, but there are also far more questions and answers at this stage.
Yeah, and some of those questions are kind of quite familiar ones if we're talking about strikers. You've mentioned goals. We've talked a bit amongst ourselves. Is this side going to score enough goals? The plus points, I would say, is that Wissa looked decent against Leverkusen again. He's looking fit. He's looking ready. Of course, he didn't look fit for pretty much all of last season, so that's good. Asula, I think we could say, was lively against Strasbourg. He missed a lot of chances or didn't take opportunities that he had. You know, obviously the penalty was pretty awful. I would still be arguing that Newcastle lack depth and quality there. And yeah, that sort of idea that somehow a new man coming in would suddenly just press a button and unlock the enigma that is Nick Waltimader hasn't happened so far. He still looks like a jigsaw in human form. I mean, so there has to be a bit of concern there when Newcastle have also lost Anthony Gordon, who was their top scorer last season.
Very much so. And I also think that Yeisler hasn't really made any secret of the fact that having four friendlies in the space of a week is not what he would have wanted. I think the friendlies have actually been an inconvenience for him. He wants more time on the training ground. Dan Burns said that there's going to be at least four more full sessions before Liverpool, but I mean, he only came back on Tuesday. Some players have been rested or had to be in recovery over the last few days because they've played at certain points. Sort of played Valencia in the heat as they did on Saturday night. They then had to go to Murrayfield and play on Wednesday. He's then had to find two separate 11s on a Saturday and a Sunday. And different head coaches want different things. This was a schedule that Howe wanted, that he liked.
to have these two friendlies before the start of the season, seemingly Geisler, certainly in this position he inherited when he came in with less than 3 weeks before the first game of the season, would not have wanted this. And so I actually think, although you want to stress test some of your ideas in friendly matches, having too many in too short a space of time has not served Geisler well. And so some of those questions that have been posed there, where would we play Nick Voldemort? Should he be a number 10? Should he be as a striker? Maybe seeing more of him or working more with him on the training pitch rather than having to have used him in matches may have served them both better. We can't say whether that would have been the case or not. This is the reality of the situation that they're in. I suppose if you're going to flip it, one positive is that Newcastle will be a surprise package next Sunday and Liverpool will have no idea what to expect. I mean, Newcastle don't know what to expect for themselves, but there is that surprise factor, which the 11 which is going to start next week will never have played together. It's not going to have been the 11 that played today against Strasbourg. It's not going to be the 11 that played against Bayer Leverkusen. It's not going to be 11 that played against Everton. It's not going to be the 11 that played against Valencia. It's going to be an amalgamation of all of them, possibly with Dedic, who's coming in, who hasn't, who's going to have had just a few days with his teammates. Maybe if they can sign a midfielder at the back end of the week, I would just be surprised if they started. But you look at the who's going to start those number six positions next weekend, and I'm not entirely sure who will. Other than, you probably say the favourites will be Ramsey and Lewis Miley, but Lewis Miley's only played 45 minutes in pre-season. Ramsey, there's been some positives, but he was at fault for it, giving the ball away in his own area for Strasbourg to score, and then he had the penalty today as well. So yes, it's that there are a lot of imponderables at the minute, and I generally don't know what to expect against Liverpool. It could be that Newcastle really come out of the blocks and surprises, or I think it could be a very difficult afternoon, early evening if they start slowly and the young players in the team maybe are a little blown away by that.
So you've gone through there quite a lot of the things I was gonna talk about in specifics. One thing that I will then do to sort of change tack a little bit. You talk a bit about midfield then, who may start the season. I thought there was a lot of sort of technical quality on Saturday from what I watched on the telly, but I also thought that Leverkusen just motored through them, that it was lacking in physicality as well as experience. So I was going to talk about that a little bit, but you have discussed midfield. So what I want to say, therefore, or what I want to ask you, having seen all of the pre-season games apart from Bristol, Rovers, City. We have to be one of the two, 50-50. Are we seeing signs of Geisler's football? Have you seen any sense? Is there any sense of what Geisler ball might look like? He's talked about aggressive front foot. Of course, he's talked about the vertical foot. We're still waiting for that, Chris. Well, no, the penalties. That was almost vertical. Maybe that's what he... That was it. That was vertical football in action. Yeah. Have we seen any of that kind of stuff? And so rather than name players who may or may not start against Liverpool, are we seeing any semblance of style and vision?
Yes, in short. It's still a work in progress in many ways, but you're seeing the clear principles. And a lot of that is that particularly in some of the matches, you can see that the two deep-lying midfielders, when they get the ball forward very, very quickly, particularly when there's a high line. They did that at Valencia in other games, and try and send in the wingers or the pacey front men in behind. So there's that direct, don't mess about with the ball if you don't need to. Something we've seen particularly this weekend, but we've seen it generally as well, is that one of the number sixes is told to drop deep, and basically when Newcastle are in possession in their own half, make a back three, so the centre-backs split, the full-backs then move ahead, extra players in the midfield, release the wingers further upfield, and it's basically to create that extra passing channel and also create extra bodies in midfield. So that is something which clearly we didn't really see that much under Howe. Geisler today was encouraging Bamba to get back in that role. We saw Sean Sturr do it almost naturally, I think, in the Ajax sort of academy graduate within him. That's what way he wants to pick up the ball. So there's definitely that. I think it's also far more, you've seen it from a lot of goal kicks that against Leverkusen, for example. I mean, they weren't to particularly positive effect, but Botman would kick it to Hornacek, who'd then go long towards Voldemort, and they'd try to hold the ball up there. Very rarely did it actually work, but that's not a ploy we've seen that often either. So I think a lot of it is about... I don't think on the high pressing we've seen enough of it yet, and I think that's partly because of the schedule and maybe the fatigue that's in some of the players' legs having gone through pre-season, and possibly the opposition as well, that Newcastle haven't had to necessarily press high all the time. There have been moments where they've won the ball high in transition. Asula did it a few times today, did it a couple of times in midweek as well. But I think we're starting to see that, and it's almost like how ball, for want of a better term, but tweaked slightly to be Isla ball, and that is very much, I think, it's even more direct than Howe's football at certain points, and it's just about having different players in different positions, partly because it's a different system, but also where they want to get the ball forward and at what moment they want to do that.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Dan Burn's return to the side was also his debut as Newcastle's new club captain, and that was something he spoke about too.
Very proud to be named club captain. I said it's something that, some things you can't really dream of when you're a kid, but for me, that was a dream from very early on to be captain of Newcastle, so very grateful for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to leading the lads this season. Yeah, enjoyed that game. It was good to be back, especially playing with Fabi, because I know Fabi's been out for a long time and I've played a lot of games with Fabi, so positive signs for me. I think when we played well with structure, when we scored the goal, I felt like we did well. There's still going to be things that we need to learn and learn quickly going into the season with the new manager and the philosophy he wants to play, but yeah, looking forward to the Liverpool game. Yeah, I don't think I need to bring a lot different than what I've done before. I said I've been part of the leadership group a long time, and I've, just because I wasn't wearing the armband, I still felt as if I was a captain of sorts. So yeah, much the same. I try to lead by example. I know we've got a lot of a younger team this year and some new players, so I'm trying to help them as much as possible and make them realise what it is to be a footballer for Newcastle.
Burn was very, very positive about the season, saying things like change can be good, talking about how excited he was, talking about targeting Europe, that they'll be doing that again, and talking about how the young players now will have the opportunity to step up, to step forward. He also used that phrase, leadership vacuum, you know, but when that's there, you need people to step forward and take place. So he spoke with great confidence. He did also, though, say this is a season of unknowns, or the season of unknown, you know, that kind of thing. And it does feel like that. I asked him a question about Newcastle losing their touchstones, losing so many of their touchstones in Eddie Howe, who, you know, win or lose, was always the same, always very, very measured, losing the heartbeat of the team in Bruno, losing the pressing of Gordon, you know, losing Tonali's quality, and of course losing Kieran Trippier too, the standard bearer since the takeover, really. So, last season was very difficult, we know that. In the Premier League, it wasn't fun. But you would look at those players and kind of know what you're going to get. And obviously, Burn aside, Burn's still around, thank goodness. But it's like I'm looking at this team now and I just have no clue what's going to happen on against Liverpool. And I've got no clue what's going to happen for the rest of the season. They could be good, they could be bad, they could be a surprise, they could grow into it, it could be disastrous. It's very strange to be at this point of the calendar, I think, and just have no idea about what's going to happen next.
He's a very bronze Dan Burn, I thought, as well. You could see that he's been in, obviously, North America for the World Cup and then winners holidays for a bit. But what Burn also said, quite a few occasions, he reiterated the fact that it needs to be everyone together, and he talked about fans and the crowd sticking with these young players, that it will take them time. And he talked about, I suppose, the cliche that it is with Newcastle, that positive momentum can generate further positive momentum, and also negativity can generate further negativity, and he wanted everyone to be on side. And I thought that was telling, because A, him stepping forward into that leadership role he already had, but to be captain, but B, I think it's also the recognition that, as you say, that even they within the dressing room probably don't know what to expect, because there are a lot of young players, a lot of talented players, but are they ready to be in this environment? How will they survive? How will they when they're in the exposed to the Premier League, will they thrive? Will some of them take more time? Will some of them adapt immediately? You cannot say for certain in any of those regards. And so, yeah, that's where there is the big element of risk with, I suppose, in general, Newcastle United 2.0 and everything that's happened this summer, is that Newcastle have lost. They no longer have the players who are between the age of sort of 24 and 28 in their peak years, who you know largely what you're going to get from them. They've actually lost that sort of happy medium of most of the players in that area that you'd want. And they now have a lot of older players. Byrne was joking, but saying, I feel a lot older now. But he's 34 now. Alongside Fabian Cher today, both similar age, the first 45 minutes. Or you have a lot of players aged 21, 22 and younger. And it doesn't feel like the best blend of that right now. And there is a risk to that. But it could work out really well, and they could really sink, or they could swim, and it probably is going to be somewhere in between for most of them. And so Byrne talked about wanting to qualify for Europe, that the Newcastle missed out on the last year, and that's the goal this season. Well, that's going to require a top 7 or 8 position, or to win one of the cups. And I think it would take it's someone more bold than me to definitively say that Newcastle are going to be the top 8 based on what we've seen so far, just because, as you say, we do not know how this is going to work out at this stage.
Yeah, bold is my middle name. Your middle name is Sausage. And O for a normal pre-season. O for a summer that isn't lurching between extremes. I mean, there's been, what, 3 of them now? The PSR summer, the Staveley summer, Elliot Anderson leaving, of course. You go back to last summer, the Isak summer, if we have to call it that. Oh my God, what a saga. And then the desperation that followed it. And then this time, yeah, big players leaving. Bruno developing into a bit of a saga. Howe going, of course. New manager coming in. All this kind of wave of change. It would be nice if it could be quiet. The one thing I'm pleased about is that it's over. We don't have to sit through any more friendly matches. And it's on to the big stuff. So if you want certainties, I can give you some, because our midweek pod will be back this week. We'll cover much more of this and looking ahead to the season to come. We will also be bringing our subscribers a special pod which will get behind the scenes of how transfers actually happen. And don't forget to get in quick on the Gosforth Civic Theatre website for tickets to our next Pod on the Tyne live show on October the 9th, which are already selling like hot cakes, hot birthday cakes, in fact, Chris. So, speaking of that, how shallst you celebrate the rest of your special day?
Go down a line in a darkened room somewhere, probably. No, I will go home and I will watch a bit of TV, probably, and then just, yeah, trying to relax into what is going to be a busy week going into the new season. So I had a lovely morning when my family came around and we had pastries and other baked goods. So that was very nice. And then I came to St. James's Park, and then I'm going to end the story there.
I mean, I got you a nice card and a present, but yeah.
You did, yeah. Some
great no, don't worry about that. Right, it's time to go. We will see you in midweek, and of course we will be back here when the action starts in earnest 7 days from now. Toodaloo.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.